Let us turn again to the chapter of God's word that we read together in the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Let us now read and consider verse 12. Verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under his wings thou art come to trust. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under his wings thou art come to trust. Well, no doubt the story of Ruth is fairly familiar to us. There was the famine in Israel, and Naomi and her husband Elimelech went to Moab to get away from the famine and in the hope of getting something to eat. The couple had two sons, and each of them married a wife from Moab. Then Elimelech died, and the two sons also, so that the three women were left as widows. And when the famine was over, they headed back to Israel. In the time came when Naomi spoke to the daughters-in-law and pressed them to turn back. She asked them for one thing. At my age, could I have more children to become their wives? One went back, the other did not. It was, at the very least, in the providence of God, a test that was put in these two women, Ruth and Orpah. Orpah went back. In some ways she was sorry to go back, but she went back to the idolatry of Moab. Ruth was determined to stick with Naomi. Not only that, she wanted to follow the true God. Now, tests come in our lives and the providence of God. Will we go one way or the other? Will we follow God or will we not? We might not think of the incidents in providence as being a test, but there are tests. Will we follow God or will we follow the world? Let us seek to plead with God that he would give us a new heart, a right spirit, so that we would follow Christ, not the world. We cannot cut ourselves off from the world. There would be aspects to that that wouldn't be right. But you see, what a wonderful thing this is. The kindness of God following a sinner, so that he or she will seek to do what is right. They may not at this stage be converted, and yet to be kept going to church to be kept following some form of prayer at least. To be kept reading the Bible, that's a great mercy, or a series of mercies. But let us not stop at that. Let us not be satisfied with things of that kind. It's good to be, as a good man I once knew, used to put it, perhaps I can't even get the form of words he used, but you see, he was pointing to the blessing of being about the net. He meant the gospel net. And that it's those who keep about the gospel net that will get a blessing for their souls. They are likely, perhaps I should put it like that, to get a blessing for their souls. And that's true. Those here who are young in particular, you should be thinking about that. This world will pass away and the things of this world. The outward blessings of this world will not follow us into eternity. We need more than that. We need something better than that. We need Christ and salvation through him. Be asking earnestly for these blessings. And remember the promise. It's in one of the passages where we are assured that those who ask shall be given, those who seek shall find, and to them that knock, the door shall be opened unto them. And the encouragement is to ask for the Holy Spirit. What a necessary matter that is, that we would have the Holy Spirit working in our souls. Well, again this evening I have two main points to speak to from this verse 12 in Ruth chapter 2. The first is that Ruth had come to trust in God, under whose wings thou had come to trust, the wings of the Lord God of Israel. It's not only that she came back with Naomi, but she was seeking to follow Naomi's God. She had come to trust in him. She had come under his protection, and she was wanting to stay there. That's something that should be influencing. That should be influencing our minds, that we would trust under the Lord God of the whole earth, not just Israel, but the God of the whole earth. And then the second thing is this, the prayer of Boaz, the Lord recompense thy work, reward thy work. And a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Yes. The Lord God. That was the prayer of Boaz. Reward thee for the good works that she had been doing. We may do many things, and we have our reward. We might get paid, we might get praise, and so on. But where does all that come from? In one way, of course, it comes in God's providence. But there's something more here. It's what comes directly from God. It comes directly, this reward, this recompense. to some extent to this world, but more particularly in eternity. How much we should be asked for this reward to be given us in this world, the beginnings of it, that we might have God's blessing forever and ever in heaven. How necessary it is to look at everything in the perspective of eternity. To look at things in this world, even to pray over them. That's good. But you see, this life is not the end of anything. Well, for the people of God, it's the end of sin. That's a great blessing. Death, passing into heaven, that's a great matter. But you see, what we can speak of is the endless blessings that fall to the people of God as their reward, as their recompense throughout eternity. Well then, two things here, two main things, and many another thing we might speak of as we proceed. The first is Ruth having come under the wings of the Lord God Almighty, under his protection. And secondly, or perhaps I should add, she had come under these things, trusting in the Lord God. And secondly, the petition of Boaz, that the Lord would give her a full reward. That the Lord would give her a full reward. First then, Ruth. And we might notice her situation. She was a widow. And she was helpless. And Naomi was helpless also. She was a widow. And today, the widows may have a provision made for them. It's a different situation from the great poverty that a widow would be in normally in Old Testament times. The Lord provided for it. And that's one of the blessings we might notice about a situation that brings us into difficulty. It's a great blessing if we are made to feel dependent upon the Lord God. Yes, there is many a sadness. And they experience sadness. But I'm just commenting just now on their need. They had to be dependent upon God in making a provision. And part of the provision was, here was Boaz, and he was a near kinsman. He wasn't the nearest relation, but he was a near relation. And it was the responsibility of the near kinsman to make provision for the widow. Even to the extent of marrying that woman, that she might have a family. But all I'm going to speak of it is this. the near kinsman, who is Christ. He is a near, one near of kin to us, in that he took our nature, that he might make provision. He took our nature, so that he might make provision. Yes. And what was the provision? He gave his life a ransom for many. He took that guilt upon him. And he put away that guilt by the sacrifice of himself. And what we have is Ruth, and she came to trust under the wings of the Almighty. There's no better place to be in this world than under the wings of the Almighty. How we found our way there. Would you be asking that? Poor needy creatures. Poor needy sinners. Where can a sinner go? Where can a poor sinner go? Ah, well, do we see the near kinsman standing near us? What do I mean by that? Do we see Christ and he comes near to us? And when he comes near to us, what does he say? Well, I could quote a number of verses. But he is saying to poor needy sinners such as we are, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He sees our burdens. He sees our difficulties. He sees our need. And he is a near kinsman. He has come near to us. And when he ascended to heaven, he took his human nature with him. He is on the throne of God, not just as divine, but he is there ruling over everything, applying the benefits of his redemption to needy sinners like ourselves. Yes, to needy sinners. He has come where we are. And he is calling on us to forsake the foolish and live, and to go on the way of understanding. What's the way of understanding? Having a good understanding of the significant things of life. And what is such an understanding? It's this, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am a needy sinner. I cannot get rid of my sin. But oh, although that is true, what am I to be doing? I'm to be committing myself to God, seeking grace to do so. I am to commit myself to God as one who needs to be saved, who needs to be put right, who needs to be forgiven. Let us be asked. Our needs are great. With death, judgment, and eternity before us, and the rest of our days in this world, with all the difficulties that might come with them. Yes. You see, there was a church in Laodicea, and what they had to say was, each of them, perhaps not all of them, but the majority of them anyway, they were saying, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. When the opposite was true, they were poor and wretched and blind and naked. They needed to come to the kinsman redeemer. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. In reality, they were poor, so they needed pure gold. The riches of Christ. Yes. The riches of Christ. How much we need that. Out of which he would supply all our needs. As Paul puts it, according to his riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. Are we going there? We're poor. One might go out on all the other aspects of the situation of a poor sinner. Whichever aspect one might think of, the call comes, ask of me, whatever you need, whatever my need, let us go in our need to the one who has infinite riches and who can make provision for us, whatever needs they are. It's not perhaps in our situation usually the difficulty that comes from a shortage of pounds and pence. We're not in absolute poverty at any rate, I take it. But you see, there's all sorts of difficulties beyond that. All sorts of other difficulties, all sorts of other needs. Health, for instance. But this, and that's what should arise foremost in our minds in connection with these things. Spiritual needs. Needs for our souls. That we would be delivered from our spiritual poverty. We're not to pay for what Christ will give us for our souls. We're not to think of paying. We're not to try to pay because we cannot pay. We have nothing. Wretched and poor and blind and naked. But you see, there's a provision. Christ Jesus came into the world and he did all that was necessary for the salvation of sinners. Yes. Now, you see, Moab or Egypt is spoken of in Isaiah 50 as a people that could not profit them nor be a help. Ruth might have had the thought, just for a moment, that she should go back to Moab, that she would get, in some way or other, a provision to keep body and soul together there. But she dismissed that thought, if ever she had it. But this, you see, she had trusted in the Lord God of Israel. She had come to rest under his wings. A bird, a hen perhaps, pictured as bringing its chicks under its wings in a time of danger. Brought to trust under the wings of the Almighty One. Have you come? Have you been drawn? That's a great thing. Have you been drawn to rest under the wings of the Almighty? To rest under the wings of Christ? Have we? There's no other refuge. There's the warning of Christ, our God, the warning of Scripture that, and we were considering warnings today already, the great wind, the great fire, the great punishment that will come on those who refuse to take refuge in Christ, to trust in Him. Is it not time that we looked for a refuge? Yes, there were the places of refuge in Israel where the manslayer could flee. He wasn't to blame for the death he had caused. And yet, the avenger of blood, the one representing the person that was killed, could take vengeance on him. He must get to a place of safety. And if we are, if we have not come to Christ, we are, as it were, out in the open, where we can be easily seen by the avenger of blood, by God Himself. We need to get out of the open. We need to get into a city, a place of safety. And it's not but that the Lord can see us there. And if we are thinking of the place of salvation, that city of refuge, it's the Lord Himself who draws the guilty sinner there. The Lord is going to take vengeance on the sinner who stays out in the open air, exposed to divine wrath, exposed to the wrath of God against the sinner. Yes, but He draws sinners out of the open air. He draws them into the city of refuge. Yes, what a place. What a place where a sinner can be saved. That's what we have. That's the view we are to take of God's provision. A place of safety. Yes, God's provision, God's provision for Ruth, God's provision for many another sinner. Yes, Ruth mightn't have known much about the provision for sinners, but she knew this, taught by Naomi. She had realized that Naomi's people were God's people, that Naomi's God was the God, and she had come to trust under His wings. She had come to trust in that place of refuge. Naomi was there, so we can believe. Ruth followed her into that city of refuge. We can believe that too. We have an explicit testimony that I just quoted. And it was obvious to Boaz too that Naomi was in, spiritually speaking, the city of refuge. Yes. And she could say, in substance, the psalm wasn't written till later, how excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. They trust under the shadow of the protection that God gives. What a place. And with death, judgment, and eternity before us, as I have said, how much we need to get into that place of refuge. Are you seeking for that place of refuge? It would be good for people in Israel that they would know the direction to go if they were involved in such an accident as would result in the death of someone. Surely we should seek to know something about fleeing from the avenger of blood to the city of refuge. Do you know anything about fleeing to Christ? Or is it not time that you learned before the avenger of blood, before Christ is the one who takes revenge and those who will not believe, before he comes to you to sweep you away from this world? Or will you not flee to Christ when he is calling as one who did all that was necessary for the salvation of sinners? Will you not flee to him now before it is too late? But you see, how excellent is that loving kindness, O Lord. How excellent is the mercy of God. The love and kindness of God who do not, to those who do not deserve it. And you see, that's what is central. Perhaps many things are central in the publican's prayer. But it's the mercy of God he speaks of. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes. Me, a sinner. Me, who would be pursued by the sword of divine justice apart from mercy. May God be merciful to me according to the provision that has been made for sinners. Yes. And it's in according to that loving kindness, according to that mercy, that the Lord puts us, that the Lord causes a sinner to put his or her trust under the shadow of God's wings or of Christ's wings. Comes to the same thing. Yes, the mercy of God to a sinner, so that the sword of divine justice is kept in its scabbard with reference to such a sinner. The recipient of God's mercy. Oh, how we should be asking for mercy. And the word mercy makes it clear that we do not deserve this. Ruth did not deserve it. Neither did Naomi or anyone else. But they got mercy. They were brought to ask for mercy. Oh, let us be asked. Let us make use of the publican's prayer or any other suitable words. Sinners that we are, who need to be forgiven, who need to be made holy, and the provision is there. There's the whole work of Christ that was finished. And you see, as I've put it many a time, it's like the storehouses of Joseph. And there's a provision there. And let anyone come and ask for a supply of grain. They had to pay for it, of course, in one way or another. But here's something better. People coming with a greater need, a need of the soul rather than a need arising from their hunger. Yes. And let us think of sinners coming. And they're warned not to come with, they're warned to come without money and without price. That's how we get salvation. It's God's gift for the sake of Christ. Come then, sinner. Come according to your need just now. Come to come seeking for mercy. It's mercy, you see. It's not on the basis of what we have done. Not on the basis of any works of righteousness which we have done. Not on the basis of any work that is referred to here. Ruth wasn't saved by her kindness and her faithfulness to Naomi. But it was noticed. All these good works of any sinner in this world, they're noticed in heaven. But we will come to that, God willing, perhaps on another occasion. But, you see, it says martyr of taking refuge under the wings of the Almighty. Whatever it is that's troubling us, but especially the needs of our souls, what a trouble these should be to us, except for this, that the Savior comes very near to us. And he is saying, as it was said on a very different occasion, let all thy needs lie in me. What a great matter that is. We have needs that are beyond us. We cannot put the situation right. And we should hear a voice from heaven saying to us, a voice of mercy, whatever our needs are, and especially the needs of our souls, let all thy needs lie on me. We're to commit our needs, our sins. We're to commit our position if we are open to the approach of the Avenger of Blood, the one who would punish us because of our sins, because we are outside the city of refuge. But let all thy needs lie on me. The Lord is speaking in that way to each of us. Will we listen? Will we notice that there is a provision? And we are to avail ourselves of the provision, a glorious provision, a perfect provision. Yes. That's the Lord's word to us. But what about our sins? Do they not stand between us and God? Yes. Yes. But we're to look past our sins. We're to look to the one who died for sinners. No doubt, Naomi would have taught Ruth something about the sacrifices that were offered. Though they could not take away sin, but they were pointing to what would take away sin. And that was the coming into the world of the seed of the woman, who was to bruise the head of the evil one. And he has done that. And the way is open. The way is open for us to go to the Savior. Yes, approach. Approach him by faith, as he has set before you in the word of God, and make known your needs. Tell him that you are open to the Lord coming as an avenger of blood. But tell him then that the Lord has opened a city of refuge where sinners may flee. Tell him that you have not been willing to enter that city, but ask him to draw you into that city. And you can note that your unwillingness to come, your inability to come, that is part of your sin. There's a willfulness in it. And you need to be drawn. You can tell the Lord. And you can say, draw me. We will run after thee. Draw me. I cannot come. I am unwilling to come. I should be running. As the manslayer in Israel would be running. There was a vital importance about getting to the city of refuge. His life was at stake until he got in through the gate into the city, into the place of safety. But the Lord is a place of safety. Tell him that. Look to him. Trust in him. Rely on him. As the one who has laid a sure foundation for sinners to rest so that they may be saved. Yes, a sure foundation laid in Zion in the church of God, which we might think of for a moment as the whole collection of those who have been drawn by almighty power, who have had their hearts open and their eyes open and their wills renewed, being made willing to come and to stay in the divine city of refuge. There's a provision made. Yes. There's a provision. And it is suitable for us. Yes. And you have Paul speaking to the Hebrews about those who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and enters into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, while Christ has come as a greater priest. Not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. A priest and a king and a prophet too. Not said about Christ, but not about Melchizedek. A provision has been made. There's a New Testament city of refuge. The place of safety. The church of God. Not the outward church of God, as there is a church of God in this world. A church of God that can be seen, so to speak. It's what we call the invisible church of God. And there's safety there. A safety that there is not within the visible church. Because people can enter into that who have not met with Christ, who have not looked to him. Yes, and there is hope for sinners. Sinners who trust in Christ, there is hope. And that hope is like an anchor, sure and steadfast, that's entering into, within the veil, the veil that separates this world from heaven, from eternity. But we enter in, the hope that is created within the believer enters into heaven. It's a sure hope. The sinner is safe. Yes. The sinner is safe within the within the church of God. It's an anchor, a sure anchor. An anchor that will not drag. A ship may put out an anchor, but there's nothing on the sea bottom for the anchor to catch. just gets dragged. But the anchor of the believer will never drag. It's there, held tight in the mercy of God and in the faithfulness of God. That's it. What is the hope of the believer? It's the expectation of blessedness that he is given. An expectation of blessedness. Why? Because Christ died. And there is a full salvation to which the believer is given a right. He will get to heaven. She will get to heaven. They will not be turned away. They will not lose the blessings of salvation. They will be theirs forever and ever. See, it's sure. It's steadfast. They have a right, having believed, they have a right to expect blessings for the sake of Christ. Oh, may we be seeking in that blessing forever and ever. And as far as they are concerned, these believers, Ruth and others who have put their trust under the shadow of Christ's wings, they're looking to the Son of Righteousness. Son, S-U-N. Son of Righteousness. A source of blessing. That's what the Son is. It's a source of blessing. We couldn't exist without the Son. And how could we exist spiritually without the Son of Righteousness? And there's healing in his wings. What a great matter. Healing in the wings of the Almighty. We need healing. How many there were that came to Christ for healing when he was in this world. And they're all a picture of sinners throughout all time coming to Christ for their souls to be healed. Have you had some understanding given you of your spiritual disease? As the psalmist said, a disease that loathsome is, so fills my loins with pain. Well, that's us. The psalmist knew it. He fled for refuge to the hope that was set before of being delivered. He was delivered. He has been completely delivered from all his diseases. All his spiritual diseases. He has been delivered. Yes. And let us go to the one Savior. And let the people of God be thankful for the Savior that has been, that they have found. Let them be thankful that he was revealed to them. The Savior was revealed to Ruth. Oh, she had the eyes of faith given to her. Her eyes were healed, at least to an extent, so that she could look off, she could look far off into the future. And she saw, by a God-given faith, as she came under the wings of the Almighty. She came under these wings. She trusted in the care of the one that was to come to die for sinners, the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist was pointing to him in terms of the sacrifice he was to be that would take away the sin of the world. She trusted. Have we trusted? Have we moved spiritually towards Christ? Oh, let us ask to be drawn. Let us have a large focus on the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of God in saving sinners. We cannot save ourselves. Yes. But we must take advantage of the means of grace. Those ordinances in connection with which the Lord provides salvation. It's not that we're earning them by means of coming to church, reading the Bible, praying, and so on. But the Lord blesses these ordinances. The Lord blesses these means. The Lord gives salvation in connection with these parts of worship. Yes, and we should be making use of them. We should be fleeing. And the people of God will more or less be fleeing. Not so much as they should. But you see, we're told that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's a city of refuge. The name of the Lord. The Lord as he is revealed. It's a strong tower. And the righteous runneth into it and is saved. Whatever their situation, let the righteous run to this tower, this high tower. And they can get out of danger. Well, it might be an incomplete place of safety, such a tower, in actual life, as Abimelech found out in the book of Judges. But that's not what we're thinking about at the moment. It's that the sinner finds Christ to be a strong tower, a perfectly strong tower, a place where he can be absolutely safe. Let us run to it. Let us make use of the anchor that is both sure and steadfast, and enter it and entereth in within the veil where Christ is. Yes, they're saved. And the call comes from the excellent glory. Many a call comes, but this call comes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Trust under the shadow of his wings. And you will be saved. You will be safe. You will get to heaven. Ruth has got to heaven. Naomi has got to heaven. But you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek divine grace. Feel your obligation. Realize that you cannot be saved, that you cannot believe unless you will be given faith as a gift. Faith is the gift of God for the sake of Christ. Think of him as a city of refuge. Flee to him and you will be saved. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Give us grace. We need thee. Do not leave us to ourselves. Help us now. Help us always. Grant us thy blessing. And may we say, reverently, 'tis time thou work, Lord, for they have made void thy law divine. But, O Lord, May we be saying whatever we'll do, whatever other people will do, let me go to Christ. Draw us then. Work in our souls. Apply thy truth. Come by thine own power, the power of thy spirit, and work savingly within us. Turn us thyself, Lord God of hosts, and up in us vouchsafe to make thy countenance to shine. And so we shall be safe. Bless us, Lord. Bless the preaching of thy word this evening. Bless the Lord's Supper where it was observed. Bless everything that is done in thy name. Hear us graciously and love us freely. And may we be taking with us words and turning to thee. Oh, be pleased to work. Grant thy blessing and thy cause. Bless thy cause everywhere. Bless the preaching of the word. Send it with power. Do us good. Wash away our sin. For Jesus' sake. Amen.